Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. I'm Ricky O'Donnell. I'm here with Jason Pat. As Jim Boylan likes to say, we both have awesome souls. He went to that well again when describing Daniel Gafford and Kobe White during the Bulls' introductory press conference last week. And I think that, you know, Boylan, he's growing on me. He's got a little bit of charm to him. I just can't help but think that he's like the perfect Chicago coach. Like in the model of Mike Ditka and Joel Quenneville and all the tough guys with mustaches who came before him. Really, Jim Boylan just needs a mustache.
He really does. Just especially the bald head mustache. Basically just the old meatball coach. I mean, I did kind of say that, like, when they gave him the extension, like, he's like the perfect guy for this front office, for the city, I guess, with the whole meatball mantra. And yeah, right as the press conference was starting, I tweeted like spirit references from Boylan, and literally like the first thing he says is that Kobe White has a great soul and a great spirit. And I was like, yes, not letting me down. Wow, that's quite the tone change from you. It goes from never coach again to now I'm coming around to Jim Boylan. What's going on here?
Well, no, I just think he's funny. Like, I think that you know the comedic value that he brings is wonderful. And I will say, I listened to that press conference before we started recording this episode. I did agree with a lot of the stuff he said. He just kind of has a funny way about doing it. I liked what he said about Kobe White before he went into the soul and the spirit, saying that, you know, he gives us good positional size. We can play him on or off the ball. He says that when you know, our job is to get the rest of the team to run with Kobe. So I did like all of that. Of course, he starts this press conference, Boylan does, by just totally praising Paxson immediately. Like, Paxson asked him to talk about Kobe, and he's like, first of all, I just really love working with John Paxson. So that made me roll my eyes a little bit. But, I mean, you know, we'll see what happens this upcoming year. NBA coaches we know are, like, pretty replaceable. So I don't think firing Boylan a year or two from now is going to be that big of a deal. But we got a lot of stuff to talk about on this podcast today, Jason. Mostly free agency, which starts July 1st.
June 30th now. It's Sunday.
6 p.m. I've got a list of guys that I want the Bulls to sign. Why don't you first give the listeners a picture of the Bulls' salary cap, amount of salary cap space with where they're at heading into free agency?
Yes. So right now the Bulls have, according to the salary sheets at Basketball Insiders, that's usually where I go for all of my payroll salary stuff. They have like $81 million guaranteed, and based on all the reports out there, there's so many great guys out there as well that just do great work with salary cap, calculating cap space. I believe they have right now around $20 million. We did find out some other news during that press conference yesterday or right after that the Bulls will be giving Ryan Arcidiacono his qualifying offer. That's worth $1.8 million. They will not be giving Wayne Selden Jr. his. His was worth $1.9 million. So Arch will become a restricted free agent. Wayne Selden will be an unrestricted free agent. So, yeah, about $20 million in cap space right now. They could add a bit more. Omer Sheik, I have not seen reported anywhere that the whole thing with with his health situation. It was reported a while ago that the Bulls had asked the league to get his $3 million wiped off the books because of like career-ending injury, career-threatening injury, whatever. I don't think I've seen it. Like I said, I don't think I've seen it reported that that is going to happen, but I feel like it's been kind of assumed. So they can add up to like, I'm not sure if they would add, he has $3 million on the books right now when he was waived. I don't know if that would actually add $3 million or if it would be like 2 point something, because if I'm not sure if he's holding up like a roster spot, roster charge, all that salary cap minutia stuff. Either way, it's around $20 million right now. Could get up to like 20, 22, 23. And yeah, I guess just a quick look at the Bulls roster and their free agents. The biggest free agent they have right now is Robin Lopez. Robin Lopez had a really nice season last year. Jim Boylan loved pounding the paint with him. Solid defender, steady veteran, all around funny guy with all his commercials. What do you think the Bulls? Do you think they'll think about trying to bring back Robin Lopez? I don't think they're gonna probably want to use that much cap space to sign him. I thought maybe try to bring him back on the room exception, which is worth like I think 4.7-4.8 million for I think 2 years max. I'm honestly not totally sure what his market will be, considering he is I think 30 years old and he is kind of. And in this NBA, he's not quite, he's kind of outdated center since he's kind of a slow lumbering guy. But I mean, we did see him be productive last year. He was a steady presence for the Bulls after kind of a sluggish start. What do you think? Would you bring back Rolo? Would you look somewhere else in the free agent market? They do have Gafford now in the front court as well. They still have Felicio. What are your thoughts there about Rolo?
Yeah, just going through sort of the Bulls depth chart for next year, let's start there, because to me, there's 10 guys who are definitely going to be in the rotation next year heading into free agency. At point guard, we got Kobe White and Chris Dunn. At shooting guard, we got Zach LaVine and Denzel Valentine. At small forward, we got Otto Porter and Chandler Hutchison. At power forward, we got Markkanen. And then at center, we got Wendell Carter Jr., Daniel Gafford, Cristiano Felicio. Obviously, they could try to move Felicio in a trade. They could have Gafford spend the majority of his season at the G League level. I would like Archie Diacono back. He would be the 11th guy if this is possible. And then, you know, the Bulls are heading into free agency with around $20 million in cap space. So to me, I don't think it makes a lot of sense to sign him to a contract that exceeds the minimum by very much, or that's more than like 2 years. So to me, you know, the Bulls have that solid 10 guys, 11 guys, who you're going to want in the rotation. They don't really have a backup power forward right now. Obviously, they could play Hutchison at some of those minutes. So I would try to sign either a combo forward or a guy who could play 4-5. So Robin Lopez, you know, if you get him for the minimum, I would bring him back, I guess. But I would prefer Taj Gibson. And Taj Gibson's one of the names on my Bulls wish list. How do you feel about this, Jason? Would you be open to Taj Gibson coming back? Because to me, I would just love that.
Yeah, he was. I did a free agent preview for Forbes that published today, and Taj. I mentioned Taj as one of the first guys because they do need front court depth. I think it would be nice to have a little shooting in the front court. Taj has extended his range out a bit, so I think that would help. I mean, Taj is beloved in Chicago, veteran presence. We know just he's all around good guy, hard worker. He might not be what he once was, but as a veteran guy, if you're gonna replace Robin Lopez with Taj Gibson, I'd be all for it. And I feel like he might be a guy. What do you think? Like, again, he'll cost. Like, I think he'll be more than the minimum. Maybe he's another guy I feel like a possible room exception candidate. I said the Bulls do have this cap space. We'll see how they use a lot of it. I feel like they're going to try to use more of it maybe on another wing or at least a point guard. Or maybe they would use some of the cap space on a big man. But yeah, I'm all for Taj Gibson coming back. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's part of my plan. Going into free agency, Taj Gibson is one of the names. And just as like a general overview, obviously there's been a lot of talk about the Bulls signing Patrick Beverley. I love Patrick Beverley. He's one of my favorite players in the NBA. If the Bulls could get him for a short-term deal with higher annual salary, I think that they would have to seriously consider that. But to me, the Bulls' main thing should be, you know, you basically have one young guy to develop at every position. You still have Hutchison and Valentine in addition to that. You still have Chris Dunn. You still got Gafford. So I'm not spending a bunch of money on anyone who goes past 2 years in terms of a contract. What I want from the Bulls is just to upgrade the back end of their roster with some buy low guys who can give you some solid depth. Because, Jason, the last 2 years, the Bulls' depth has been absolutely atrocious. Paul Zipser, Felicio, Antonio Blakeney, it goes on and on. I mean, Cameron Payne, like the back end of the roster has just been so, so bad with the Bulls trying to take flyers on young guys they think they can develop. The Bulls cannot develop guys who don't immediately have star potential, in my opinion, because, You know, you could point at Jerry and Grant, any number of guys the Bulls have failed at the end of their bench. So I want just some solid veterans to come back here and to help the young core that the Bulls have in place, because they don't really need to be spending, in my opinion, you know, a 3-year, $35 million contract, even though they have that type of money, to get someone who ultimately is not going to be projected as a starter. So to me, I'm looking for buy low guys, get them on 1 or 2 year deals, overpay a little bit if you have to make sure that the contract is shorter. Taj Gibson is one of the names on my list. I would take him for a 2-year deal, around $4 million a year. I think he could, you know, provide backup 5 minutes. I think he'd provide veteran leadership. You can play him a little bit at the four if you need to. You know, him and Markkanen would work well together. Him and Carter, maybe if you let Carter space out a little bit, could be something you could look at. So Taj Gibson, one of my names on my list. Another guy who I saw you mentioned today who I like a bit is Jamichael Green. He's had a pretty good last few seasons for Memphis and for the Clippers last year. Do you think he would be worth it to sign, Jason?
I do. Like I said, I mentioned him in this Forbes thing as well. Just solid stretch forward. I mean, the Clippers just had their depth was one of their big strengths with Jamichael Green, with Lou Williams, with Montrezl Harrell. So last year, Jamichael Green, he kind of came up and was big with the Grizzlies a few years ago, and he split time with the Grizzlies. The Clippers acquired him from the Grizzlies last year. Not flashy numbers, but last year between the two teams, he shot basically 40% from three. Not huge volume though, but I mentioned before that I would like to have some shooting off the bench since they drafted Gafford and they have Felicio there. It would be nice to get a backup big man who can shoot. And again, this is about 40% from three between the Clippers and Memphis. He's career 37% from three on just under two attempts. So again, not huge volume, but like I just want a guy that you can come in, maybe make it 3 or 2 a game, and at least be a threat out there. And again, he averaged with the Clippers, he averaged almost 9 points, 6 rebounds, and only 20 minutes per game. So that's pretty solid, like per minute stats. And like I said, solid shooting. I think that would be a really nice addition for the bench. And again, that's another guy that probably wouldn't cost that much. I feel like him and Taj would probably cost a similar amount. Jamichael Green is 29 years old. So he's basically in the middle of his prime. He's 6'9", almost 230. I think it'd be a really solid addition for the bench.
Now, to me, I don't know if he's going to want to come to this situation He's in the prime of his career. Like the Bulls have two guys in front of him, obviously, Markkanen and Carter. The Bulls aren't really going to compete for much next year. So I'm not really sure if, like, from his perspective, Chicago makes sense. He would probably come here if they paid him the most, because he's also in position to like take the most amount of money he can get. So while I do think he's an intriguing fit, I want to maybe hesitate on that a little bit. And I have another name who I think could play a similar role. And here's one guy I would like the Bulls to get. If they get him on a 2-year deal, overpay him a little bit, I would be into it as long as he's taking a short-term contract. But that's Daniel House, who I remember watching on Texas A&M, was a great college player. I believe he went undrafted. He's latched on over the last few years. He started his career with Washington, then in Phoenix. Last year in Houston, he was really good. Daniel House, 6'7", 220 pounds, plays the three or the four, and he's just a straight-up gunner. Last season, he had a 65% true shooting percentage, which is absolutely phenomenal. He got up threes on 70% of his shots. He doesn't really play much defense. He doesn't pass at all. He had 40 assists in 40 games, basically. But what he does is shoot the hell out of the ball. He hit 42% of his threes last year. He's still pretty young, only 26 years old. So to me, Daniel House is a guy who just wants a contributing role in the league. He's not looking to be like a piece on a contending team. He's just looking for like a stable paycheck where he can make some money and have a consistent role. And I would sign him, do a 2-year deal to be a gunner off the bench. He's not going to give you too much defense or passing, but I really like his shooting. He's big enough to play the three or the four in small ball looks. So Daniel House is one of the names I want. Played for Houston last year, 6'7", 220 pounds, small forward. I would get him, I don't know, maybe $4 million a year for him, 2 years, $8 million. If they could do that, I'd pull the trigger.
I am curious if the Rockets will prioritize. I guess I just have no idea what the Rockets are even doing. Like, there's been the Chris Paul rumors that the whole team is basically like falling apart at the seams. Like, I feel like his situation was weird last year too. There were some contract issues there. I feel like the Rockets were just kind of being cheap with him. Now he's hitting free agency. So I'm curious if they're going to prioritize bringing him back. I mean, I wouldn't. I would certainly. I totally forgot about him as a possible option. I think that would probably be a decent move. I mean, there are like a lot of smaller guys out there that the Bulls could really help. Just for you mentioned the back end of the roster as well. Before we get some of these other possible targets, I did want to bring up again the actual Bulls back end of the roster. And I mentioned Arch Diacono. You said you want to keep Arch between Ryan Arch Diacono and Shaq Harrison. I feel like they're going to probably have to choose between the two of them. Do you think that's right? Like I said, Arch has a $1.8 million qualifying offer, restricted free agent. Shaq Harrison has a $1.6 million non-guaranteed contract. It comes guaranteed, doesn't guarantee until August, so they have some time. So I wonder if they're going to do something where like they'll see what kind of offer sheet Arch might get. Like if, I mean, you're not going to overpay him. Arch was really solid for what he was last year, but if someone gives him a nice offer sheet, like, you can say goodbye and probably just guarantee Shaq's $1.6 million. So I wonder if they're going to move with the timing there, maybe see what kind of happens with Arch, maybe then decide what they're going to do with Shaq. I guess if you had to choose between the two, would you choose Arch? Do you think they have to choose between the two? Because we talk about how the Bulls' depth has been so bad. Like, do we want them using two roster spots on two clearly limited like backup point guards when they might add another point guard in free agency? They still have Chris Dunn. They have Kobe White.
Yeah, I'm definitely taking Archie Diacono, no doubt. And I would maybe even start Archie Diacono next year.
Oh, man.
At the beginning of the season, because I think that he's just the best fit with LaVine, Otto, Markkanen, and Carter. So Archie Diacono, I would, again, take him. That's the third part of my free agent plan. So to recap, it's sign Taj Gibson, sign Daniel House, bring back Ryan Archie Diacono. If they were to do that, that would get him to 13 guys next year if they're keeping Gafford on the roster. So Archie Diacono, one of the league leaders last year in assist to turnover rate. He hits open threes. He hit, I think, 44% of his three-pointers last year. He's pretty bad defensively. I think, you know, of course, he initially grew comparisons to Heinrich when he first started getting minutes. He made some hustle plays, diving for the ball, showing a lot of all-out effort, but he's pretty brutal on defense, but he's actually good on offense. So he subverts your expectations, maybe a little bit of what you expect from a guy in that role. But I really like his catch and shoot ability. He's a smart player. He doesn't screw up a lot, limits the turnovers, gets some assists. And really, he's basically just going to be like a spot up shooter on offense. He's not going to create too much. But you have LaVine. You're going to hopefully try to let Lowry create a little bit. And then, you know, Otto Porter, they even let him try his turn at some isolations and pick and roll situations last year. When he came over. So I'd like to see him try to develop that part of his game as well. So I'd get Archie Diacono. And then, you know, if you add him with a point guard, you know, contingent of Chris Dunn and Kobe White, I don't really think you need to spend big money on Patrick Beverley. I don't think you need to spend big money on someone like DeLon Wright, who I like a lot and who I think would be a good fit next to LaVine long term. But he's basically like Chris Dunn, who knows, like, with a better sense of self. You know, like, he knows who he is as a player, and that's why he's more effective than Dunn. And I like DeLon Wright. I think he'd be a good fit. Another name I wanted to mention, but I'm probably passing on that, bringing back Archie Diacono, signing a wing like Daniel House, signing a big man like Taj Gibson, and then just going for it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on the Arch thing. I know a lot of people have said in my mentions, like, oh, like Shaq, like, he's such a good defender. Like, maybe he could turn into an offensive player. I feel like Arch almost seems like he's like almost kind of polarizing, even though he's like, it's just whatever. He played really well. Like, I've mentioned this before. Like, I made fun of the guy when they signed him last year. I was like, this guy, no way, this is NBA player, and he ended up being all right. I feel like either way, like, I'm not gonna get mad if they choose Arch, if they choose Shaq Harrison. I feel like they should keep one of them and then just kind of whatever. Besides that, I also, you mentioned just like I guess another end of roster thing. You also mentioned Blakeney as well. He's got a guaranteed contract next year for $1.6 million. I feel like they should just waive him. Like, they probably won't do it because it's just money down the drain, but I feel like they can absolutely use a roster spot better than Blakeney's $1.6 million, right?
Yeah, so what do you get? 15 guys and 12 of them can dress?
Something like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, if they were to, you know, sign a big, sign a wing, and then bring back Archie Diacono, they would be at 13 guys if you include Gafford and Felicio. So, I would waive Blakeney, I guess, but he is cheap, and you're just going to need someone to be like the 13th, 14th, and 15th men on the roster. I personally am not high on Blakeney because he's just a total gunner. I think he had more field goal attempts than total passes last year, not assists, passes. So I personally would likely cut him, especially because Kobe White kind of fills a similar role as that, like, scoring guard off the bench. And then I don't know what you do with the last couple slots on the active roster. I guess you go for some young guys, some undrafted two-way type players to fill it out.
Yeah, and I guess the end, this also goes into it. Wayne Seldon, I mentioned that they're not going to give him a qualifying offer, so he's unrestricted. Would you even think about bringing him back? I feel like at times he played well, and then I was looking at his numbers today. Like, his numbers were kind of ass. Like, his shooting percentages weren't any good. Like, and it was like PER, not that PER is a thing, was like eight. I feel like, I don't know, like, I feel like let him test the market. If you need a back-end roster spot for Wayne Seldon, sure. Like, you could absolutely do worse at the back end of your roster, but I feel like I'm totally fine with them not using the caps, not using whatever, like the 1.9 million of cap space with this qualifying offer and just kind of seeing how that plays out. I would assume you'd probably agree. I mean, there's really nothing that special about him.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I just feel like they could get a better player in that roster spot. I would like David Nwaba, who, if you want to add a fourth guy to my free agency plan of basically just trying to boost the back end of the roster and not really worrying about making an impact signing in this free agency period. I think Nwaba would be awesome to bring back. He's not going to return to the Cavs. He would give you a defensive stopper. I think he would provide, some veteran leadership, could play the two or the three, could defend at least three positions. So give me back Nwaba over bringing back someone like Seldon.
I totally forgot Nwaba was a thing. And after there was the whole this kind of uproar last offseason about basically letting Nwaba go, who would have been very cheap. I think he signed with the Cavs for a minimum and then signing Jabari for $20 million when you probably could have just had both of them. You could have given Jabari like $18 million instead of $20 million, and you could have probably kept Nwaba for like $2 or $3 million. I'm not totally sure. I know he was looking for a multi-year deal from the Bulls and it just never worked out. And then they ended up, I think, renouncing his qualifying or pulling like his qualifying offer, just basically renouncing him and letting him go somewhere else. I'd be fine with that as well. Nwaba's, he plays hard. He would fit in with what Boylan's trying to do with his hard-nosed culture and all that. So yeah, sure, why not? I would be fine with David Nwaba coming back. I feel like I just saw some people on Twitter talking about that. That'd be kind of amusing. Before we talk about any other topics, let's break for a brief word from our sponsors. Guys are terrible at taking care of their health. Whether it's a knee injury, bad back, or something worse, guys are usually more comfortable rubbing some dirt on it than seeing a doctor. The same is true for erectile dysfunction. Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to chat with a doctor online. With Roman, you can get medical care for ED, if appropriate, from the comfort and privacy of your own home. You can handle everything online in a convenient, discreet manner. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/BlueWire and complete an online visit. If your doctor decides that treatment would be appropriate, they can prescribe genuine medication that can be delivered in discreet packaging right to your door with free 2-day shipping. So guys, please go talk to the doctor. Erectile dysfunction can be tough to tackle, we know, but it's really important to get checked out. So with Roman, it's easy to connect with a doctor. Just go to GetRoman.com/BlueWire to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/BlueWire for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/BlueWire. And we got another announcement to make. Blue Wire is teaming up with Harry's to make sure our listeners are shaving comfortably. Go to Harry's.com/BlueWire to save $10 on a value trial set, which includes a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. You get all of that for just $3 shipped right to your door. Enough with the cheap razors, it's totally worth trying Harry's. Harry's has fixed shaving by combining a simple, clean design with quality and durable blades at a fair price. Harry's founders were tired of paying for razors that were overpriced and overdesigned, so they bought a world-class blade factory in Germany that's been making quality blades for over 95 years. So join the 10 million who have tried Harry's and claim your trial offer by going to harrys.com/bluewire. All of Harry's blades come with a 100% quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let them know and they'll give you a full refund. So again, make sure you go to harrys.com/bluewire to redeem your razor for just $3. All right, and we're back. Ricky, I know you said earlier on our first segment that you don't want to spend big money on guys. Like you mentioned, you don't want to pay big Patrick Beverley. You want to go more short-term contracts, 1 or 2 year deals. And the free agency preview that I did do for Forbes, they asked basically, what is your best case scenario? They, for like the headline, it was like, who's like the best case scenario, like realistic big name you can target. I was debating between Patrick Beverly and Malcolm Brogdon. I asked Twitter. A lot of people kind of came up with those names as well. I ended up going with Brogdon. And after thinking about it more, I kind of still think the Bulls should think about going after him, tossing him a big offer sheet. I know Bobby Marks of ESPN mentioned them before the draft as the Bulls, as I don't know if he was actually reporting or just kind of bringing up them up as a team that could possibly go after him for like 4 years, $80 million. Malcolm Brogdon offer sheet from to try to steal him away from the Bucks. I honestly, again, I kind of would still think about doing it. I guess my thought process is this. He's basically entering in his prime. Terrific two-way player, great three-point shooter. He just had a 50-40-90 season. He could start the season as the starting point guard. But then even at whatever, you're grooming Kobe White for a bit. I feel like even after maybe you turn the reins over to Kobe White, if you don't want to start him right away, then Brogdon could transition into basically your backup one and backup two. And then even if you wanted to keep Chris Dunn, like if you have a, even for this season, if you're a four-man guard rotation, then if you want to have Arch maybe as the fifth guard, is if it's Brogdon, Levine, Chris Dunn and Kobe White, like I feel like that's not too shabby. And moving forward, I don't think like $20 million a year for Brogdon would be like anything too horrible. Again, I know he's had some injury problems in his career. He had a problem this year with his, he had a foot injury that caused him to miss some time before he came back in the playoffs. But I just think he's such a solid player. He would really help just against almost be like an Otto Porter Jr., stabilize the lineup. I know Kevin Pelton of ESPN released some like, I think it was like 3-year projections for free agents this year. Brogdon was ninth on the list. Just, I think he's a solid player that would fit what the Bulls do, improve them on both ends. And I think he'd be fine taking any role, whether it's starter or bench. I'm not totally sure what kind of contract the Bucks will not match, because I know the Bucks are going to run into some luxury tax problems. They got to bring back Middleton. They just gave Bledsoe an extension. They got to bring back Brook Lopez. They did just trade our guy Tony Snell, the plus minus god, to the Pistons, staying in the division to kind of clear some of that burden, clear some more room for them to sign some of those guys. But I'm curious if there really is a level where they would not match. So again, you've kind of hinted that you would not want to spend in big on anybody. Why would, I guess if you would still maybe think that with a guy like Brogdon, or tell me why you wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, I think Brogdon is really good. You look at his numbers last year, 61.5% true shooting percentage, averaged 15 points a game, shot the ball really well. Great touch on two-pointers. That's what shocked me from Brogdon. Took 8 attempts per game from two-point range and hit 55%. Money from the foul line, 93%, best in the NBA. Not a great facilitator. He's not someone who's going to like break you down off the dribble and create offense for others. He's more a guy who's going to play sound positional defense, shoot threes. He has some craft in terms of his scoring touch inside the arc as well. So I really like Dunn, I really like Brogdon, but giving him 4 years, $80 million is not something I would do. I just don't think there's enough upside there to warrant that type of contract. Like the next time the Bulls give out a $20 million contract, if it isn't to re-sign, you know, Markkanen and Carter and those guys, I hope it's to get an actual star. So just remember that Zach LaVine only signed for 4 years, $78 million. So you're going to be paying Brogdon in this scenario more than LaVine. I just don't love that in terms of where the Bulls are at with, you know, their spot in this rebuild. I would rather overpay Beverly for 2 years and just to try to keep that short, because one thing I keep coming back to right now is that, you know, looking at the Bulls depth chart, they do have some intriguing options for a trade package. If, you know, the next time a superstar comes up on the market, I think Kobe White's going to have a lot of trade value, being super young, having good positional size and shooting ability. Who knows what Hutchison's going to do? Maybe he has some trade value. Markkanen and Carter both have trade value. LaVine probably does to a certain extent as well. So I think the Bulls are sort of sitting in a position right now where next time a superstar hits the market, they do have some assets they can throw at a team. And I just don't love the idea of throwing star-level money at someone who I don't think is a star-level impact in Malcolm Brogdon. Really good player, but 4 years, $80 million, I feel like that's just way too much money for him. I would rather bring back Archie Diakono and just sign like low-risk free agent sort of, instead of giving the full boat to Brogdon.
I think that's totally fair. Especially they have Porter's money on the books. I get it. You mentioned LaVine. They're going to have to pay their young guys coming up in the next few years. Totally understand. I still think they should think about it, just because I think he'd make them better. And they need better players. They need to get to a mediocre level first. I think Brogdon's even a guy you might be able to include in a trade package with that salary because I think he's good, but totally understand it. We've mentioned Beverly a few times. I feel like we've mentioned him before. He's been one of the hot names out there. He's a Chicago guy, hard-nosed player, can shoot the three-pointer really well, good defensive player. But it sounds like he's going to be really pricey, possibly. I can't remember who it was. I don't know if it was Marks again or if it was Windward. I can't remember who it was. There was a tweet that was suggesting his price might get up to like $14, $15 million a year, which I feel like is insane. Like, I feel like the Beverly thing with like KD this, I think, in the playoffs, like, I feel like he's almost getting overrated because of what happened there. And like I said, really good player. I would consider, I guess, paying a ton of money for him on like a 2-year deal, or even a 1-year deal. Like the Sixers a couple years ago gave JJ Redick like 1 year, $23 million. I'm not going to do that for Brogdon or for Beverly. I feel like the Bulls still could use some cap space on other guys. But I mean, would you be willing to give him like I guess $14-15 million over 2 years? Or would you rather just move on to somebody else?
Yeah, I told you it's my prerogative to spread that money around to like three different players just to shore up the back end of the roster and to, you know, maintain cap flexibility moving forward, just because what the Bulls are really lacking in this rebuild is just a superstar, right? Now, like, maybe Carter or Markkanen develops into that. Who knows? Maybe Kobe White does. But to me, I don't want to be giving out a ton of money long term until they get that type of guy. And Beverly's in a unique situation. He's about to turn 31. He really hasn't made that much money throughout the course of his career. He's only made $20 million, which is crazy in this era of basketball. I feel like he's one of the most underpaid players of this generation. Beverly needs to take the most money. So, you know, I think that he's going to have a pretty big market. He's probably going to want to take a long-term deal if he can get, I don't know, $15 million a year for 3 or 4 years. Like, he's probably going to want a long-term deal, because my guess is this is going to be the last time he's really going to have a fat salary. So I wouldn't give it to him to the Bulls. You know, if he wants to take 2 years, $24 million or something, I guess you think about it. But in my opinion, it's better to just keep that salary space open and make some moves just to shore up the back end of the roster. But I love Patrick Beverly, so if they did it, I'd be super hyped up about it. It would be awesome to have someone like him. If they could bring him and Taj Gibson back, dude, the Bulls would actually be fun to root for with those two guys and a young core. That could be pretty cool, but I don't know. I think it's probably going to get too pricey unless the Bulls want to add a third year, which I don't really think is in their, is to their benefit.
Yeah, I would agree. He's had injury problems as well. He's had trouble sitting on the court. And in the term of regarding the long-term deal, Casey Johnson tweeted at me after I was tweeting about Beverly and the possibility of him getting like $14-15 million a year. He even said that there's the talk around the league is that he's going to get a long-term deal. And as much as I would like, just the idea of Beverly is nice as just the hard-nosed Chicago guy, it'd be very easy to root for. Like, if you're getting into the 3-year, 4-year range with him, I just don't think it makes sense. I'm with you on that one. Moving on to some of the other point guard, like other point guard options, if they want to go for another veteran point guard, what do you think of names? Like, okay, would you go for Ricky Rubio? I mean, there's a ton of guys out there. Ricky Rubio is one. Darren Collison, George Hill. I totally forgot about. The Bucks are gonna have to waive him because he's got like $1 or $2 million guaranteed of like $18 million. So I'm sure they're gonna waive him and then probably try to bring him back. But I'm not totally sure what his market will be. I would think about maybe going after a guy like him. We've said no Derrick Rose before. So I guess those other three names, and then Corey Joseph is another guy as well, another Pacer. So you got Ricky Rubio, Darren Collison, Corey Joseph, George Hill. Out of those four, would you have a preference out of them? Or I guess if you could rank them, how would you do it?
So it doesn't make a lot of sense to sign one of those guys to me if you're bringing back Dunn. Like, you might as well just let Dunn play, develop Kobe for a year. And then, I mean, Dunn as a top five pick at his age, like, he's going to have more upside than any of those other guys. Granted, he's not as good of a player. Like, I think Corey Joseph is a better player than Dunn. And if they were to move Dunn, which who knows, maybe they will.
Yeah, I guess would you prefer to keep Dunn and just roll with him and Kobe White, or would you rather them trade Dunn and actually sign a veteran?
I think I'd prefer to just keep Chris Dunn. Like, why not? Keep him for 1 year, see what he does. I think that his defensive instincts will maybe help Kobe White become a better offensive player in practice. It'll be fun to watch those two guys, who I know both are really competitive, compete for the position. And, you know, maybe Dunn puts together a good year in his contract season.
Contract year.
So I would just let Chris Dunn have the year. You know, why not? Like, he probably has more upside than anyone else they could sign. And I just don't want to give out more than a 2-year contract this offseason to anyone. So having done on a 1-year deal, I feel like is the best case scenario for the Bulls. And then you reassess next year. Maybe you sign a veteran free agent point guard next year. Maybe you draft a guy. There's a lot of point guards in 2020. My mock draft's coming out tomorrow on Wednesday. So you'll see that then. But yeah, I'd keep Dunn.
I think I'd feel just so much better at Dunn if he just wasn't starting games. It would be great, I guess, if Kobe could, like, I mean, they've talked a lot about already about them pushing each other in training camp and all that. We'll see if they actually do trade him. I guess the problem with trading him at this point is just that you're probably not going to get shit back for him. So it's like, I don't want to just dump Chris Dunn for like nothing. Like, if they needed the cap space to like make like a really good signing, maybe they would just dump him and maybe get a second round pick, but don't just dump him to dump him. I would agree with that. I feel like I would still prefer a veteran point guard and try to move Dunn, or even just keep Dunn as like the backup 2, I guess. You got Denzel Valentine there, but I don't think you could really count on him at all either. I would just feel so much better about Dunn if he was like a 6th, 7th man. Like, I don't want to say, like, I know the Marcus Smart comparisons have been brought about, but like, just basically like a 6th, 7th Marcus Smart-esque role and just not a starter. It was like just watching him start and playing with the rest of this young core just can be painful sometimes when his offense, when he's not shooting 3-pointers, when he's taking garbage shots. But if he's just coming off the bench and providing energy, like, I can dig that with Chris Dunn. That's kind of what I was thinking with the Brogdon thing. Like, Brogdon could start, Chris Dunn could be just like a backup 2 behind LaVine, Brogdon, and they could roll with that. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with Chris Dunn, just because they've basically talked so much about how, like, we need a new point guard, and they drafted their point guard. But then they in the same time, they say, oh, well, we haven't given up on Chris Dunn. We want him to fight in training camp. It's just like, it's just kind of a weird situation for him. And maybe we'll light a fire under his ass. I guess like he kind of, it's basically like, I don't want to say his last shot, but like if he's bad this year, like maybe he'll get a chance like on a really small contract next year in restricted free agency. I can't speak English here, but yeah, this will be a big season for him. So maybe we'll actually light a fire under his ass. We'll see.
The problem with Chris Dunn is that he had a 20% usage rate last year and only a 48% true shooting percentage.
Yeah, that's
why I said at the top of this podcast that I would have Archie Diakono as the starter. He only had an 11% usage rate and he had a 59% true shooting percentage. So basically, I don't think you need a high usage player in the point guard role. And, you know, that's been Dunn's MO. Like, when he is in the game, he wants to be the guy. Well, guess what, dude? If you're sharing the floor with LaVine, Porter, Markkanen, and Carter, you're not going to be the guy. You're going to be the 5th option on offense. That's why I'm putting in someone who knows their role, like Archie Diakono, into that spot. You could play Dunn and Kobe White together off the bench, in my opinion. So I would hold on to Dunn because he's going to be inexpensive in his final year. He's low risk, it being a 1-year deal. He's still young and got some upside. Like you said, maybe the fact that he's about to lose his spot to Ryan Arcidiacono does light a fire under him, but that's what I would do. I think that that's a more prudent move than giving a veteran point guard a longer-term deal.
Well, I wouldn't give any veteran point. Like, besides Brogdon, like, if it's Beverly, Rubio, Collison, George Hill, I would only probably go 1 or 2 years. I don't know. Those guys maybe might be looking for more. I feel like I would not give any of those guys 3 or 4 years. It just wouldn't make really much sense. I guess moving away from point guard, let's look to the wing. One of the wings I really like that I've been talking about lately is Jeremy Lamb from the Hornets. The Hornets going to try to bring back Kemba. I know today that they were talking about the Celtics and Mavericks going after him. We'll see if like the Knicks or Lakers go after Kemba. But the Hornets, Mitch Kupchak literally said right after the draft that even if we re-sign Kemba, we don't want to pay luxury tax. And I feel like they have a ton of terrible money on their books already. Kemba might get a supermax. If he doesn't get a supermax, it's going to be close. Danger of going into the luxury tax. I feel like they're probably not going to keep Lamb unless they're able to shed a lot of salary. He was kind of a disappointment early in his career. What was he in? Oklahoma City. I'm pulling up his numbers right now, his career numbers right now. Like I said, he was kind of disappointment early in his career. He was with the Thunder to start his career, had like one decent season and kind of regressed. He's been with Charlotte for 4 years. This past season, put up 15 points a game, 15 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. shot 35% from three. Not great, but that's around league average on pretty good volume. 2017-2018, he shot 37% from three on three attempts per game. It was at 13 points per game. I feel like the Bulls, right now the Bulls' wing depth is basically, it's just LaVine and Porter starting, and then behind them you have Valentine, who is coming off a huge injury. You really can't rely on him. And then Chandler Hutchinson. Obviously, you want to get him minutes since he's a young player. You invested a first-round pick in him, but he's still not very good yet. You could use some punch off the bench. I feel like Jeremy Lin could be that guy. He was a starter with the Hornets, so I don't know if he would accept the bench role with on a rebuilding team like the Bulls, but I guess if you offered him enough money, maybe you give him a two-year deal. I know you said you don't want to give him any longer than 2 years, but how do you think about going after a guy like him to add some scoring punch off the bench for a shorter-term deal?
Yeah, my friends make fun of me because I've always really liked Jeremy Lamb, and I always point out how young he is. Is he still like 27 now?
Like he's I'm pretty sure he is. Yeah, 27. Yeah, so right into his prime, 6'5", 185, wing, shooting guard, small, could play by both wing positions.
Yeah, I really liked him coming out of the draft out of UConn. I thought that he'd be a better player than he ended up being, but he's still young. He still had a pretty good year last year. To me, it's like, they have a guy at his spots, you know what I mean? Like, they have LaVine, they have Porter. So if he's only going to come in on a bench role and you can give him a two-year deal, like, yeah, I think Jeremy Lamb's pretty good and he would just improve the overall talent level of the team. But that's why I identified someone like Daniel House. To me, like, his expectations would be more in line with what the Bulls have. Like, they already have Hutchinson, they have LaVine and Otto. Like, you just need a guy at the back end of the roster who's playable and who's not going to kill you when he gets on the court. House was super efficient last year in an offensive role. So I would sign someone like that over someone like Jeremy Lamb, just because you want to keep some flexibility on your books. And one more name who I kind of like is a backcourt option.
Please.
If you want to talk about hedging the Denzel Valentine bet, how about Furkan Korkmaz? 21 years old, former first round pick of the Sixers. Yeah, we just had that experience with Lulu Alcabarro. But he's so young and he really improved his efficiency in his second year. His rookie year true shooting percentage was like 38%, and he got it up to 52 last year. 55, I think, is considered average. So I would, you know, maybe take a low risk flyer on him too.
That is interesting. What did you say his numbers again? His true shooting percentage was
52%, but he's 21 years old this year.
Like, still
he's
super young. Yeah.
He's got good size at 6'7". He can handle the ball a little bit. If you go to YouTube and type in Furkan Korkmaz dunk contest.
Oh, I've seen that.
He dressed up as Darth Vader for a dunk contest, which was super dope. So yeah, I would look to get him too.
Another name for you, Tomas Satoransky, that float in your boat at all?
Yeah, I like him. But again, it's like, you know, if you could put him into a bench role 2 years, yeah, for sure. I would take that guy, no doubt, because he could play a little point. He could play the two. He just has like a diverse skill set on offense, which, yeah, I think would give the Bulls like another guy who can actually pass and make Markkanen and Carter a little better. So, yeah, like in my ideal scenario, you're not like paying anyone big money. I don't know what he's going to get. Is he going to get like $7 million a year or something?
I'm not sure. It was like, I feel like he's kind of under the radar. The Wizards are fucking garbage. But like, look at his numbers, just really solid season. Like you said, skilled. He's got good size and he can play point. He played point guard for a time there. I think when Wall got hurt, good shooter. Like, I feel like that's definitely valuable and he might get a decent deal. And I assume the Wizards will just, I think he's a restricted free agent. I feel like the Wizards should just bring him back. But I mean, I think he's a guy who's at least interesting to look at. Do you have any other names on your list that you would like to go after?
Now, my list is basically Archie Diacono, Daniel House, Taj Gibson, maybe Nwaba, and maybe Furkan Korkmaz. Those are my guys. And then if you want, you know, a backup power forward, one more big man, if you're going to put Gafford in the G League for most of the year. I would like Jamichael Green if he's available.
Yeah, I feel like besides Taj Gibson, I feel like fans will absolutely hate your plan. But I feel like it would be totally fine. I mean, fans expecting like anything big from this offseason shouldn't. Like I said, I think I would like Malcolm Brogdon, but I don't. They're not going to actually get Malcolm Brogdon. Like, come on. I feel like it's just not going to happen. And like, I feel like Beverly, like if he's going to be priced out, like, I don't know, like probably not. Sounds like that's not going to happen either. Like, I feel like fans just need to like, just get in their head. Like, it's probably going to be a few role players. like you said, I don't want to say fill out the end of the roster. Basically, just a few key role players that will play key minutes. Either maybe they'll bring in a veteran point guard and then some other bench guys. It's not going to be like a big offseason. They're not going to get some superstar player this offseason that's going to turn them around. Like, it's going to be a process. They're going to have to – they have to take a step forward next year with this core as their main guys. Then maybe, like you said, maybe they have a trade package with their core if somebody else becomes available. Like, they're not going to get the superstar yet, acquire that guy this offseason. Like, it's just not going
to
happen.
Yeah, obviously. And, you know, to me, it harkens back to the summer of 2016, which was when all these free agents were signing huge deals. The Bulls lauded themselves for saying, you know, we didn't give out any bad money long-term contracts. And then at the end of that free agency period, they gave out the worst contract in Chicago sports history, which was giving Dwayne Wade $36 million for 1 year because he had a team end on the second year of that deal. It basically handcuffed the team into trading Jimmy Butler, who was on a wonderful contract below market value. They just should have totally stayed out of that offseason. Instead, they made a dumbass move, two dumbass moves at the end of the year to sign Dwayne Wade, which to me, just such a horrific signing, an F grade for that signing. Everyone knew it at the time. This isn't second guessing. This was first guessing when they made the move. So now, can you learn from your mistake where you made a horrible, horrible lapse in judgment to give Dwayne Wade that much money? Like, don't worry about selling tickets. You want to sign someone to sell tickets, bring back Taj Gibson. You can blow Archie Diacono up into this, like, you know, blue collar Chicago tough hero. Bring him back. Who cares? Just don't make a panic move like, you know, signing D Rose to some ridiculous contract or bringing him back at all. I think just don't worry about what the quote unquote fans want because they're idiots. Like, you know, they would be excited about, you know, lots of things that wouldn't have been beneficial for the team long term. So to me, it's like, do what you actually said you were going to do in 2016 and don't give out any bad deals. just play it safe this offseason. And, you know, next time a star becomes available or next time there's a good free agent, you can actually spend the money when, you know, the fit is right.
To be fair, we're also idiots, but
we're idiots
we're
too. Yeah,
we're smart idiots.
All the time, but.
I think that's we've kind of covered all the Bulls. So there's obviously a ton of guys out there. Like I said, go read my Forbes article. Got a bunch of names I just listed. A lot of guys we talked about here. I guess before we wrap up, let's just take a few minutes for just the league as a whole. There's a report coming across right now saying that the Rockets are going to push hard for our guy Jimmy Butler in a sign and trade. I feel like that'd be absolutely fucking hilarious if Jimmy Butler goes to the Rockets to play with James Harden and Chris Paul. Like, obviously the talent level there is great, but I feel like the drama level and just the possibilities of a huge blow up / collapse there would be amazing. How would you feel about Jimmy Butler on the Houston Rockets?
Okay, first of all, the Bulls traded Jimmy Butler 2 years ago because they didn't want to pay him this contract. Look how many suitors he's going to have. Teams that are a lot smarter than the Bulls are willing to give him, you know, a 4 or 5 year contract to cover the end of his career. So I think the Bulls played themselves by trading him, because if you put Jimmy Butler on the Bulls right now, that would be like the best possible signing. I think that, you know, putting him as the de facto point guard around LaVine, Porter, Markkanen, and Carter, like, that would be ideal. If there's anything the Bulls could do to open up cap space for Jimmy Butler, and I don't even think trading Felicio would do it because his annual salary will be more than $28 million, I believe, right? So,
Jimmy's will be, I think it's over $30 million to start.
Yeah, so
maybe like $32, $33
million. But it's like you traded him because you didn't want to pay him this deal, but all these smarter teams are still willing to make this trade. They're still willing to sign him to this contract, so it just gets me frustrated that Jimmy Butler's not on the Bulls all over again. He would be really a perfect fit with the current core, just to give him like a shot creator who could, you know, basically initiate the offense and still provide defensive value. So I think that Jimmy with the Rockets would be dope. I think that CP3 sucks and is annoying and he has to be a Laker. Like, you got to get him out of here, put him on the Lakers, bring in Jimmy. Jimmy and Harden would be funny too, because I think, you know, as Kevin Farragut once wrote on Bloggable, Jimmy should be playing Harden. So
yeah, let Jimmy be Harden.
Yeah, that would be an interesting mix. But I'd want Jimmy on his own team, and I think Jimmy wants his own team. It's too bad he couldn't have one here in Chicago, because if there was just some way to open up a little bit of enough cap space for him, he would be so perfect with this young core.
Yeah, obviously we know that's not going to happen, even if he just recently ran into Jim Boylan at a Chicago restaurant like a month or so ago. I guess real quick, what do you think the top guys? Do you think Kawhi's staying?
Man, I have no idea what's going to happen there.
I'm saying, no, it like changes every day. Like we have reports like every day that, oh, he's going to take a meeting with the Knicks. Oh, maybe go. He's thinking about the Lakers. Chris Sheridan tweeted, I don't know if Chris Sheridan has any real sources anymore. He said the Mavericks might get a meeting. That's probably like Mark Cuban like making a joke to him and him taking it seriously. Like, I hope he stays. I know, I think it was Chris Haynes said that he's seriously considering resigning. I hope he stays for at least another year or two. I know that him going to the Clippers would be dope too. The Clippers are a fun team, but him staying with the Rockets, at least in them running it back, I think would be, I'm kind of leaning towards him actually doing that now. I don't know. Like I said, we don't know jack shit about this. Nobody seems to know, but I don't know. I hope he stays.
We're talking about Kawhi. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Like he's almost more of a legend if he leaves because he went to one year, won his title. Like what's he going to do next year? They won't win. And then his accomplishment doesn't look as cool. Like I would almost go to LA.
It would be an incredible flex. And like if he does it, absolutely, like I can't imagine Raptors fans will be upset. You'll get the some dopes that will be mad. But like how could you? I mean, he comes 1 year, wins his title, your first ever franchise title, and he leaves. Like whatever. Doing what he wants to do. He came here, did his job, gave you a title, and he's out. That'd be an awesome flex if he did do it. I just kind of hope he stays. And just it would be cool for the Raptors and their fans because they were having a great time at that parade. It was a fun time. And it was like the longest parade I've ever fucking watched it. Just like 6-7 hours. It was insane, but they were having a great time. Shout out to Marcus Gasol pounding full bottles of wine. That was pretty funny. I guess the other couple big names, KD and Kyrie, a lot of rumors about them possibly joining up on the Nets. Do you have any qualms about paying KD a full max still, even with the Achilles thing?
Actually, I'm passionate about that. I think that every team should be offering KD the full max, even though you're not going to get any value out of him the first year of the contract. It's so rare to have the ability to sign a player like Kevin Durant. He should age well even after the injury because of his shooting ability and his size. So, yeah, like Nets, Knicks, all these teams, Warriors, offer Kevin Durant the full max. He'll think more of you for it. I don't even know why we're talking about him like opting in and playing on a one-year deal. This is Kevin fucking Durant. He should get the four or five-year supermax regardless.
Yeah, and then Kyrie. Kyrie, just absolute, I don't want to say nut job, but he's just a weird, all-around weird guy. Great basketball player. He's obviously awesome, but it seems like he kind of ruined the Celtics chemistry this year and just kind of weird. Like, do you like the Nets like prioritizing him over basically they'll probably let Russell go? Like, do you, I mean, Kyrie is so good at basketball. It's just hard to like differentiate. And I guess if they get Kyrie and KD like in a couple years, that's pretty dope. Although like both those guys kind of weird. It'd be an interesting mix. It just, the Nets like have built this, whatever, they built their culture with these team first, hardworking guys. I guess, I don't know if you would consider D'Lo that, but whatever. They all bought into the system. Bought into this culture under Kenny Atkinson and Sean Marks, and now they're going to like add Kyrie Irving to that after what happened in Boston. Like, do you think that's the right move that there? Because it seems like that's going to happen unless he's been trolling us this entire time, which I wouldn't put it past him. But it seems like he's going to Brooklyn.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that Brooklyn should do it. Why not? Like, I'll take Kyrie. That's an upgrade over D'Lo. I think they're sort of similar players, but Kyrie's just way better. So I would do that. I wouldn't really have too much trepidation with Kyrie, even though he is weird, man. Have you been following him on Instagram? He's been posting every day.
I know.
Trip to China or Japan or wherever.
Japan.
Has been really funny to watch. So Kyrie's an interesting guy. But I think, if you can sign Kyrie Irving, you sign Kyrie Irving, no doubt.
Yep, that's fair enough. I guess that's about it. We touched on the top guys. So, yeah, again, free agency opens Sunday evening. I think it's 6 Eastern time, something like that. Always a fun time. I'm glad that they've moved it up to a normal time, although it was always kind of entertaining just, like, staying up overnight just to watch, like, the first signings come in. Not the best for the sleeping habits and tough when you're – that's, like, your job to be following this stuff and staying – pulling, like, basically all-nighters with crazy freaking stuff happening. So I'm kind of glad that it's – starting earlier in the evening now. But yeah, again, Sunday for agency. Again, as we've talked about kind of this whole pod, don't expect huge stuff from the Bulls. Maybe they'll surprise us with something. I'm not expecting anything huge. Like I said, I don't think they're actually going to sign Brogdon. At this point, I would almost be surprised if they signed Beverly. Expect smaller veteran guys for the end of the roster. As Ricky said, probably shorter term deals. I would probably expect that as well. But it'll be interesting. We'll see. Oh, this is always a really fun time of the year. So, as always, shout out to Blue Wire Pods. Go, please check out all our podcasts across the network. We got so many great NBA pods. We keep adding by the day. We got pods for other sports as well. And also go check out our store that we have, where Cash Considerations is selling t-shirts now. We got other shirt designs out there as well. So please go check that out. If I can pull up the actual website to shout out the guys who actually make that stuff, that'd be helpful. But I don't have it in front of me right now.
T-shirt. We got a dope Kobe White t-shirt. Who knows, once the Bulls actually listen to this podcast and they bring back Taj Gibson, maybe we'll make a Taj Gibson t-shirt as well. Sign Taj Gibson, Jason. That's the one thing I want out of this offseason. Give me Taj Gibson or give me nothing.
I feel like that would just, I feel like it would just be, make the fans just, it'd be at least, seriously, they've made so many, like, whatever, like, Chicago moves, like, bringing back Jabari and signing Dwayne Wade. Like, I don't think, and Taj Gibson would actually be a fun, like, just bringing back guy with some Chicago ties. I would be totally down for that. Bring back Taj Gibson, damn it. That's basically it then. So, again, free agency starting this week. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll be back next week sometime to talk about it. We'll see if the Bulls have made any moves by then. But from today, that's been Jason and Ricky. It's Cash Considerations, Chicago Bulls Podcast. Take it easy, guys.